Good morning, church. The lavishness of God's love and forgiveness at Bethlehem and Golgotha. We have just come through the Christmas season, but we need to realize afresh that the manger of Bethlehem was overshadowed by the cross on Golgotha. Consider with me this morning the lavishness of God's love at Bethlehem that culminated in the forgiveness of sins at Calvary. Let me ask you, would you look for the living God in a manger or a cross? Let me talk this morning very easily and quickly to you that God's love and forgiveness was promised from the very beginning of time. The divine plan of salvation was announced some 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden, immediately following the entrance of sin brought about by the disobedience of Adam and Eve. And immediately, God declared, I'm going to defeat the devil. And eventually, this took place at Calvary. The Bible develops this in the stories of the lives and the prophetic ministry of three men, Abraham, Moses, and David. Every aspect of their lives culminates in the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. It is the full life and display of the lavishness of God's love and forgiveness that we need totally to absorb. In the Garden of Eden, God in judgment said to the devil in Genesis 3:15, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Eve's seed, who eventually would be Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, would bruise the serpent's head. And since any serpent's poison is lodged in the head, the bruise would be fatal. And then the verse says, thou shalt bruise his heel. Notice the little word, thou, which indicates not the seed of the devil, but the devil himself would only bruise the heel of the one that crushed him. All this would begin to be realized when Mary gave birth to Jesus in Bethlehem, who would at the end of 33 years carry his cross to Golgotha and die, crushing the devil, and then being raised by the power of God and the total victory of God, promising the total defeat of sin once and for all and forever. In promising this Savior, God conferred on Eve, who had the disgrace of introducing sin, the future honor of introducing the deliverer. Isn't that a picture of love? Paul, writing to the Colossians, qualified the total effect of Christ's death. For in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, Paul writes, when you were dead in your sin and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposite and opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to his cross. And having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made them a public spectacle, triumphing over them by the cross. It was in the Garden of Eden, when sin had engulfed all humanity, that God immediately announced his total judgment on sin and the devil, stripping them of all their power and authority. The divine plan, some 2,000 years later, after Eden, started to unfold with the man we know as Abraham. The clear purpose of God's promise and life for Abram was recorded in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. He said there, I'm going to make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you are going to be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And all the peoples of the earth are going to be blessed through you. After Abraham grew up for some 75 years of his life in the Ur of the Chaldees, Terah, his father, who had three sons, one of whom was Abraham, who had married Sarah, the family moved from Ur to Haran and settled there. And the story probably is very well known. It's told in Genesis chapter 11, verses 31 to 32. Haran was a massive city in those days, so some 68 acres, with a population of 200,000. And they all lived there until Terah, the father, died at the age of 205. Haran was a major center on an important trade route. All the people were idolatrous, worshiping the moon god, and Abram was one of them. However, God, in his divine plan, looked down and spoke to Abraham. And that is recorded in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. And the writer to Hebrews, almost 1,000 years later, reported in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was about to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Abram had not planned to leave the Ur and then Haran and settle in the land of Canaan. In fact, when he left Ur, he had no idea where he was going. But God had called him, and only God knew what was in store for him. However, amazingly, as soon as Abram understood what God was saying, he started packing. That was instant obedience. I wonder if we are as instant in our obedience to the voice of God as Abraham was. God's promise had declared that God would make Abraham the father of a great nation, which didn't even exist at that time. Years later, it would be called the nation of Israel. In order for this promise to be fulfilled, Abraham needed a son. But Sarah, his wife, could not conceive, which obviously presented a very major problem. 10 years passed, and still Sarah could not get pregnant. And so, needing a child to fulfill the promise of God, she had a child by Hagar, the Egyptian handmaid. And thus Abraham, who was now 86 years old and had been in the country 11 years, found that his wife gave birth to Ishmael. This boy, Ishmael, became the progenitor of the Muslim race, and they dwelt in Shur, which at present is Saudi Arabia. God, however, had said Sarah herself should give birth to a son. And 24 years after Abram had initially obeyed God and was living in the land, miraculously, Sarah at 90 or 91 gave birth to a son whom they named Isaac. He was the promised seed through whom all the nations of the world would be blessed. And this was the completion of the initial plan of God for Abraham and Sarah. But then the unexpected happened. God spoke again to Abraham and said, Abraham, take Isaac, your only son, and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. And Genesis 22 tells the story in verses 1 and 2. It came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I'm going to show you. Amazingly, at least amazingly to me, there was no argument. Just obedience. But on the way up the mountain, Isaac, who is at least 18 years old, and some writers will say he was much older than that, but Isaac said to his father, we have fire, we have wood, but no animal for the sacrifice. And Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Note very carefully, the patriarch was permitted to spare his own son Isaac from death. And you know that story when God supplied the animal for sacrifice. But Jesus, who was God's only son, climbed the road to Golgotha, and there he was crucified. Jesus was not spared by God his Father, because Jesus Christ was sacrificed as the long-awaited lamb whose death would be given for others. And so Paul would write in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Oh, the lavishness of God's love. Clearly, the promise made to Abraham of a nation, the Jewish nation, one would be born who would be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. And in the New Testament, that promise made to Abraham was transferred to Jesus Christ, that now encompassed both Jew and Gentile. And so Paul would write of that story later in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts anything or uncircumcision, but a new creation. And notice the last phrase of that verse, and as for all who walk by the rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. The nation of Israel, as it were, passed from existence, and the new Israel of God combined both Jew and Gentile. God had declared in the Garden of Eden, I'm going to defeat the devil, and in this took place in due time at Golgotha. It had been announced the moment sin had been committed, even before Adam and Eve were thrust out of the garden, that God's only Son would pay the price for your sin and my sin. Indeed, the lavishness of God's love is seen first at Bethlehem and then at Golgotha. Remember, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Will you accept this challenge this morning at the end of 2020 and absorb afresh the lavishness of God's love and his forgiveness that cost God the very life of his one and only Son, Jesus? For you and me to really absorb this truth will change everything in our lives in the year 2021. Will you bow with me and pray? And now the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the keeper of Israel and your keeper, keep your going out and your coming in from now on and for all time. Amen.